Today, as we come to Mother's Day, it's always like, what does God really want to share with us on Mother's Day? And one of the great pictures that we have in the history of the Bible is, and when I think of the life of a mother, we think of many times Mary, the mother of Jesus. But when we think of the story of Mary, many times we go to the Christmas story, we think of the angel coming to Mary, and we think of many of the different stories through Jesus' life, and yet one of the great events of Mary's life is, can you imagine as a mom seeing your oldest child, the one that God promised to you, the one that God showed you is going to be the gift to mankind, and yet you as a mother have to sit and watch him be beaten and just torn apart, crucified, and killed. And we can imagine what she felt as she watched this. We know many of the other followers of Jesus had already ran away in fear and in chaos, not knowing what to do. And yet here is a mom who has to watch this. And I'm sure there was fear there, but what overcame fear was that I am going to not leave my son. And in front of all of that was going on, Mary sat at the foot of the cross. And Jesus died in front of his mom. Not only what Mary was going through, but can you think of how Jesus felt to see his mom suffer? To know that he could stop this at any time. And I think if anything was to stop Jesus from going through the cross was not just for his own pain, because it says that I could call a legion of angels at any point to stop this. I think the one thing that would have touched his heart was when he saw his mom suffering. I think he could handle himself suffering because he knew what his choice was. But to die in front of his mom in that way, to see her suffer and watch him die, had to have been the hardest thing for him. And yet in this situation, in this act of dying in front of his mother, Jesus gave us some principles and some lessons that I think even for his mom, he wanted her to see. And so I want to look at what could have Mary have learned. And what could Jesus have wanted to portray to any of us as he died in front of his mother? And one of the things that I think we can learn from is the things that could have come to Mary's mind at this time. Because throughout the New Testament and through the Gospels, many things that happened, over and over again, it said that Mary pondered these things. That she kept these things in her heart. Whenever things happened along the life of Jesus, it says that Mary kept these things in her heart. And so while she was sitting at this cross, I think all of these things that she had kept in her heart, I think came rushing out. And so I want to look at four things that could have rushed out that came to her mind that Jesus was going to know that she was going to remember. And so it becomes an anchor to hold on to, a lesson to learn, a principle that we can put into our life, that Mary could put into her life, and that those around that saw what happened could build into their life. So the text that we look at is in John chapter 19, the story that we have as Jesus died on the cross in front of his mother. John chapter 19, starting in verse 25, it says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now, a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, and they put it on a hyssop branch, and they put it to his mouth. And so, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And so we have a little glimpse of some of the things that were going on as Jesus was suffering and dying. And yet even throughout that circumstance, he interacted with his mother. And I think this is so key that no matter what is happening in our life, God calls us to honor our parents, our mom and our dad. This is such a principle of God's character, that God loves moms. He loves dads. He loves this idea of parenting. And that not only is it something that he put just so that we could procreate, but this is a very character of his heart that we are to honor God, which is why this is one of the one commandments that God gives us, like it says, that comes with a promise, where it says, honor your mother and your father, that your life will be blessed, that it would be long upon the earth, and that God would lift you up. And so we know that Jesus, even in the midst of his dying, he honored his mom in this way. And so how did he honor his mom? What did he lay before her to make her proud? And not only to make her proud, but that he could show her that all the things that she had been remembering through his life was something she could hold on to. The first thing that I think came to Mary's mind as she watched her son die and as she thought back through his life was an instant when he was a little child. And even as he was groaning and agonizing in pain, I know that her mind went back to a frantic time when he was a child, when they were in Jerusalem, and we all know the story, and it is told in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 46. And it says, we don't know how old he was. Many think that he was maybe 11 or 12 years old, pre-teenager. It says, now, so it was that after 3 days, they had been looking for him. He had been missing. They were heading back home, but they finally realized that Jesus wasn't with them. So after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? You're driving us crazy. You've left us. Why would you leave us to be racked with fear? Where were you? And it says, look, your father and I have sought for you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. And after that, he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. So as she thought back about that time when he was a child and he was in the temple, even then he told her, I need to be about my father's business. And I can imagine this thought came to her mind as here he is dying, when she wants to be selfish by saying, Jesus, call forth God right now and come down off the cross. And yet, even as she wept and wished that God would step in and intervene, I know that her mind went to those words, my son is about his father's business. And she realized that even in his life, even in his death, Jesus was committed to be about his Father's business. The same heart that he had as a child to please God, to walk after God, to follow his Father in heaven, that even now in his death, he was saying, God, I am about my Father's business. I am yielding myself to see God glorified, that as I die, I am able to bring men unto salvation. You see, Mary saw a son who did not think of himself, but thought of what God needed from him at that time. And I think this is something that she learned even then in that moment, that we all need to be about our Father's business. It may bring sacrifice, but there is no greater life that we could live than to be about our Father's business. I think Jesus wants us to know that a life that's worth living is only a life that is lived following our Father's business. Not doing what we want, not living for ourselves, not living even for our family. Even at that moment, Jesus looked down at Mary and says, Mary, I understand that this hurts you, but I've got to do what God needs us to do. And I think in our life, we need to make those decisions. You know what? Sometimes we have to do things that might be hard for our kids, might be hard for our spouse, might be hard for us, but we need to be about our Father's business. The greatest honor that he could give his mom, he says, Mom, I love you, but be proud of this, that I am about my Father's business. We need to ask ourselves, as we live our life in front of our mom and in front of our family, are we about our Father's business, or are we caught up in our own life? Are we caught up in our own comfort, in our own pleasures, or are we willing to say, God, I am going to be about my Father's business? Mary remembered that. Even as she watched him die, I know her mind took comfort in the fact that my son is following his Father's business. Second thing that came to her mind was a story when he was a little bit older and was just starting his ministry. And they came to the wedding. Everyone remember the story with Mary and Jesus at the wedding? It says in John chapter 2, verse 1, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, Jesus, they have no wine. But Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, whatever he says, you do it. Here's a great story that Mary remembers. This time when Jesus said, Mom, it's not time for me yet. I'm just starting yet, and it's not time. And Mary says, but we're at this wedding, and they need you. There's no more wine. This is part of the culture at that time, and it was a disaster for the party. And these were probably close friends of theirs that they had known. She's like, Jesus, what can you do? Mary, knowing his heart, even though Jesus told her, Mom, it's not my time yet, what did she do? She didn't rebuke Jesus, and she didn't say, do it for me, because she knew his heart. She turned to the servants and just said, do whatever he says. And even at this time, there comes a time when we know that we are not called to obey our mother forever. We grow up, we move out of that place, but we never stop honoring. And his honor for his mom coalesced in the very character of his heart. And the character of his heart is that he was one of compassion. And so we saw that Jesus, even though it was not his time, and it wasn't yet, he wasn't yet ready to do it because his heart had compassion and he heard his mom's request, he reached outward. And as Mary thought of that time, that she remembered the time that Jesus did something even though he didn't have to for her. Yeah, that he looked out for others at a time when it wasn't really the best for himself. Now, as he was dying, she sees that same character. She sees that character in her son, that even though he is being beaten and whipped and mocked and spit upon and dying, she sees him reach outward. She hears her son as he dies say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." She hears her son turn to the thief next to him on the cross and say, "Today I will see you in paradise. I will cover your soul." She sees her son, even in the midst of suffering, be willing to look outward. And what a great lesson that I think Mary learned, that it wasn't just his life that he did it. Because how many know, some of us, we do it when it's easy. Oh, at the wedding, it's easy to look outward. But Jesus was willing to put it into effect even when he was suffering. Jesus wants us to see that are we willing to look outward no matter what the circumstance is? Mary saw a son that was willing to care about others more than himself. And I think at that point, Mary had to check herself, because if you were to ask her, she would rather care about herself right then and her son. And yet, she had to choke back the cries and say, "God, do what you need to do through my son." Because he was willing to care about others more than himself. Are we willing to care more about others than looking out for our own interests? Looking out for our own schedule, what we want to do. And many times we use other people as an excuse because we live through them. Maybe it's our kids, our friends, those around us. We need to be very careful, even though we're using that, not to say, "Oh, I'm doing it for them," when we really know that we're doing it for us. Jesus had nothing to hide behind. It was totally for others, because there was nothing about dying on the cross that you could see pleasure in it for Jesus. He was willing to give everything for others. We need to begin to look at our life and say, "God, take my focus off of myself and put it onto others." That with everything I do, I need to ask, "Is this for others?" And sometimes that means hard love. Sometimes that means doing things that they won't like. But if I really love them, if I am going to look to their interests, I need to begin to say, "God, how can I truly love them in a way that is not just easy and not just pleasurable, but brings glory to my Father?" He was willing to reach outward, to look outward. And I think Mary held on to that and began to understand his life as she saw his death. Well, the third thing that came to Mary's mind is the teachings. And I think she remembered this time that she sat in that room, and the Pharisees would rebuke her son. And how many know that you don't rebuke a mom's son in front of her? She would want to stand up and take their side, but she remembered her son's words as he responded to the questionings and the mockings of the Pharisees. And we know that the Pharisees many times got mad at Jesus and his disciples and would question him, "Why are you not following the traditions that we've always followed?" And one time they were sitting at a dinner, and it says in Matthew chapter 15 that the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, we're not talking about cleansing, like sanitation, washing. It's not that they didn't wash their hands. What they're talking about is a ritual washing. It's a long, drawn-out thing. It's not to get your hands clean. I'm sure they made sure their hands were clean. But they didn't follow the whole ritual of this hand-washing routine that they had. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, I have given as a gift to God.' Then, if you do that," this is what the Pharisees taught, "then that person need not honor his father or mother." In other words, they taught that if you've given and dedicated everything to the temple, which is many of the priests had said, now it doesn't mean they gave it away, but they had dedicated it to it. Now, they could still use it, but they used that as an excuse so they didn't have to give it to their mom. They would say, "You know what, we can't help you, mom and dad, because I've dedicated this to God." And Jesus said, "When you have done that, you have made the commandment of God of no effect because of your tradition." He says, "You are a hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" You see, at this point, Mary remembered this teaching that Jesus says, "I am focused on a heart that takes care of those responsibilities that God has put us, that doesn't just give lip service to the following God, but actually follows him with his heart." And we know that as Jesus looked down from the cross, he said, "Woman, mom, this is now your son." John, the beloved, was there. He was the only disciple that was there. And he said, "John, from now on, I want you to take care of my mom." You see, when he said that, I know Mary looked back to this time when he cursed the Pharisees and said, "You know what? God said for you to honor your mom, and yet you've put this pretense of following God, and you've used following God as an excuse to take care of the responsibility that God gave you." And now Jesus was living it out himself. She saw again that Jesus didn't just say that, but Jesus was willing to live it. Because even in the midst of suffering, he took the responsibility that, "Mom, I'm going to honor you." The Bible says, honor your mom and your dad. And even though Jesus had an excuse that he could have literally said, "You know what, someone will take care of my mom." He had brothers and sisters. He had other people. It says that she was there by her sister who was married to Clopas. There were people that would take. He didn't have to worry about. There was other things that Jesus could have worried about. And yet, Jesus said, "No, God has given me a responsibility to honor my mom. And that even in the middle of this circumstance, I'm going to take care of my responsibilities." And he took care of his mom right then. He said, "Mom, I'm going to honor you by following, taking care of my responsibilities." You know what? We are so quick to use excuses to get out of responsibilities. And there's a lot of responsibilities, not just to our mom and dad, although there are many of us that have used other excuses not to honor our mom and dad. And we need to step back and say, "God, forgive me. Am I like the Pharisees who use these other things as excuses and try and make those look as important?" Now, God's not saying following God is not important, but there is a way that we can be people of our responsibility, people that are accountable, and still be people that follow God. In fact, as you are about your Father's business, being about your Father's business will never free you from your responsibilities to your spouse, to your home. But yet, taking care of your home never frees you from your responsibilities of being about your Father's business. This is where Jesus shows us that you can do both. As long as your heart is passionate for God, in fact, you will be able to accomplish both. Because Jesus, while accomplishing everything for God, dying on the cross, was still willing to take his responsibility of caring for his mom. And we see that takes a heart and character and integrity that Jesus showed. And I think when he said that, when he took the time from the cross to care for his mom, that probably almost killed her worse. I could see the tears, the fact that he would think of me right now when he is in pain is beyond belief. And yet, do we do that? Are we willing to be people of such responsibility that even to our own sacrifice, we are able to follow God fully while standing up and being men and women of God that care for our responsibilities? You see, that's why the world sometimes doesn't want to hear about God, because they see us as Pharisees, that we are hypocrites. Oh, we talk about God with our lips, but yet we can't even keep our word to them. And they're tired of seeing Christians who serve God with their lips, but our heart is far from him. We don't stand up and work hard. We don't stand up and do the things that we need to do. Jesus showed his mom that I will be a person who is accountable for my responsibilities. If God has given us that, we need to take. Now, we cannot use our responsibilities as an excuse to God. Many of us do the opposite. We say, well, God, see, I'm taking care of my family. I'm too busy. I'm working hard, so I can't come to church. I can't do this. You know what? God says, No, now you're doing the opposite. Don't use your responsibility as an excuse to put God on the back burner. We can serve God wholeheartedly and still take care of our responsibilities. If Jesus could die and take care of his mom, then we can work hard and yet still put God first and be about our Father's business. Jesus was accountable to take care of his mom. The last thing that Mary would have remembered from his life comes in Matthew chapter 12, verse 47. And she could have remembered this time very clearly. He had just started his ministry. He hadn't really been accepted yet. People were still thinking, who is this guy? And there was a time where as he traveled around, he came close to home, so they went down to see him. It said, then one of the people came to Jesus and said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you. But he answered and he said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother. And I think Mary could remember that. And many times that sounds very cold. Man, Jesus was kind of, you know, harsh to say, that's not my mom or brothers. These are my, you know, is that what Jesus really meant? As she saw him live that out, she knew that he was not pushing her aside. He was not pushing his family aside. What he was trying to teach then was a lesson that became obvious when he was on the cross. And that was the fact that the family of God, the body of Christ, is even more important than blood relations. We need to understand that Jesus chose the family of God. Now, he's not saying don't love your family In fact, God's heart is that you love your family. In fact, that's the commandment, honor your mom and your dad. And he talks about parents, love your children. But Jesus said, be very careful that you don't love them more than me, because God is still the one who gives you life. God is still the one who is going to bring you into either heaven or hell. You still need to understand where the source of your life is. In fact, the source of you loving your earthly family only comes from God when you choose your godly family. The best way that you can love your blood family is by embracing the family of God. This is the source of true love. This is where we learn to truly lean upon one another. And if you'll notice, Mary was standing with her blood family. And yet, Jesus said, Mom, here's your family, John. He chose the family of God over her own blood family. His brothers were still there. He didn't say, James will take care of you. James at that time was not yet a Christian. Now, James, his half-brother, would soon become a great follower of his. But at that time, he wasn't. And so Jesus said, Mom, you need to stay with John, because John knows what's important. He will take care of you. Mary, when she heard that, could have remembered back in the day. I think this would have almost made her chuckle, because instead of saying, who's my mom, who's my brothers and sisters, Jesus is saying, Mom, you are my mom. But not just because you gave birth to me, but because in God, we are greater than just a mom and a son. And John is going to be your son, and he's going to take care of you. Jesus showed this importance of understanding the impact and the power of being part of a family of God. That there is a stability, there is an enablement, there is a support that you can only get through the family of God. Now, just like our blood relations, the family of God is not always perfect, right? Just like your blood family, sometimes that's not always perfect. We have a lot of people, it's like we're afraid to call, that's my mom or dad, or that's my brother or sister. And it's the same with the family of God. But yet, here's the thing. At least with the family of God, God is still working on us. God is bringing us together, and he is growing us. And that is the key that makes all the difference. So even as Jesus died in front of Mary, she remembered that he was about his Father's business. That as he did the business of God, he found purpose, he found glory, even in pain. And when that pain came, he still looked outward. He was willing to touch others. He was willing to have compassion on others. And in so doing, he did not neglect his responsibilities. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of character. That he was accountable to do what he needed to do. And finally, she saw the depth of love that comes from the family of God. That as we connect to the family of God, Jesus found comfort. Because it says that after Jesus turned her over to the family of God, to John the disciple, it says then, it was only then he said that he saw that everything was accomplished. And then he said, I thirst. That was the only time he said anything for himself, was only after he connected and gave her over to the family of God. And he said, now, I'm thirsty. Can someone give me something? And he gave him thirst. And it said, and then he bowed his head and said, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. If we will learn to live for our Father's business, if we will learn to look outward and be people of compassion, if we will learn to be people of integrity and being accountable for our responsibilities, and then as we learn to live life connected and leaning upon the family of God, we will be able to say one day, it's finished. I've run the race. I've fought the fight. And I think Mary was able to let him go. As a mom, she had peace in her heart because she saw that this was the character of her son. It's the character that we need to embrace in our life. Let's bow our hearts. Lord God, even as we live our life in front of our mom today on Mother's Day, and for some of us, our mom may not be living, but God, we are still living in front of them. They are still witnesses in spirit of our life. I pray that we would learn the lesson that Mary learned watching her son die. God, make us people that are dedicated to our Father's business. Make us people that are compassionate and look outward rather than selfish. Make us people that are willing to be people of integrity and character. And God, give us a heart for the family of God. Help us to find our place in the body of Christ so that one day we can stand before you and say, God, it is finished. Because of what you have done in me, I can give glory to God. Amen. Amen.